So, I will, as brother said, I will be taking this topic of the church in the classes that I will be taking. So it's my prayer that the Lord would help us in knowing certain important truths in connection with this subject. Now to begin with, turn with me to Matthew's Gospel chapter 16. Matthew 16. And we will read verse 18. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 18. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. May the Lord add his blessings upon the reading of this verse. Who says this verse? Yeah, the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Now, if you look at the chapters before that, we understand that in the training of these disciples, now about 1.5 or 2 years have passed. Now, how many years was the public ministry of the Lord Jesus? Yeah, 3.5 years, isn't it? Out of that, half of his is past, alright? Now, in the first half, you know, part of the training that he gave to the disciples, he taught lot of truths about himself and various other things, you know, about the Father, his forgiveness, lot of truths. Now, a stage has come to take the disciples to the next step or next stage of his training and teaching. Alright? Or, in our language, we can say now the disciples, you know, should be sent to the next class. Alright? Before being promoted to the next class, what should be there? Examination is there. Huh? So the Lord also did the same thing. Alright? Lord also did the same thing. Lord took the disciples. How many? 10. 12. Lord took the 12, went to a place called what? Uncle, if we had known all that, we wouldn't have come for ABC for teens, isn't it? Yeah, what is that? Yeah, Caesarea Philippi. In which verse do you have it? Verse 13. You have it in verse 13. When Jesus came into the course of Caesarea Philippi, isn't it? So the Lord Jesus Christ came to Caesarea Philippi with the disciples and he asked them a question. And what is it? There in verse 13 itself, we see that. He asked his disciples saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Huh? Or what do the people say about me? Alright? That's the first question. In the examination you have questions, am I right? Yeah, this is the first question. What do the people say about me? And what is the second question? Yeah? Verse 15 we have it. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Or what do you say about me? So these are the two questions. What are they? Number one, what do the people say about me? Number two, what do you say about me? Isn't it? We see the answers that the disciples gives, Peter gives. We don't have to go into all those things. So these are the two questions. And these two questions are very important as far as those people who were trained to, you know, evangelize the whole world, as far as those disciples were concerned. God, the Lord was training them for what? To preach the word of God, isn't it? To evangelize the world, isn't it? To be sent to the whole world so that they may preach the gospel to others. You know, to do that, these two questions are very important. The answer to these two questions are very important. They should know what people think about Christ. Did you get that? Think about your friend in the class. You want to share the gospel with him. You want to share about the Lord Jesus Christ with him. You should have some idea about what he thinks about Christ. Am I right? Yes. You should know what he thinks about Christ. Without that, you cannot speak, isn't it? At the same time, you should also have right understanding about Christ. You got it? Now you understood the relevance of the two questions? The Lord asks, what do the people say about me? Alright? And then the second question is, what do you
say about me?
So those two questions were very important, and they gave the right answers. When you give the right answer, what happens? You get the full mark, isn't it? The Lord gave the full mark, and when you get the full mark, what happens? You are promoted to glory, right? They are promoted to the next stage. Now the Lord is going to teach them new lesson. You got it? Now the Lord is going to teach them new lessons. And when you read the following verses, now the Lord has started teaching them two things. Number one is the church, and the other one is the cross. Alright? One is about the church, and number two, about the cross. About the church, we saw here itself, this is the first place where the Lord Jesus Christ utters about the church. Chapter 16, verse 18. And when you come to verse 21, there we see about the cross. You saw verse 21? All of you? What do we read there? From that time forth began Jesus to shew unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. So the Lord from that time onwards started telling about the cross clearly and directly. Even before that, indirectly he had spoken to them about the cross. Right from the beginning itself. But from here onwards, he started teaching them about the cross clearly and directly. Alright? So in verse 18, we have the reference to the church. In verse 21, we have the reference to the cross. From this time onwards, Jesus would speak to them about these two things. New class, new lessons. Did you all get it? If it is yes, tell me a big yes. Yes. Now can you tell me the relationship between these two, the cross and the church? Do you understand the question? Yeah? What is the relationship between these two, the cross and the church? Very simple, isn't it? Wherever you see a church, there is a cross also over it, right? Is that the relationship? No, that's not what we are saying about, isn't it? Can you tell me the relationship between the cross and the church? Or if you want it this way, the crucifixion or the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and the church. Don't want to answer. Come on, tell me, my time is going. Yeah, you're going to say something. No? Yeah.
The cross was
purchased the church, or what he did on the cross brought forth the existence of the church. That's what you mean? Yeah? Yeah. Can you say one is the cause and the other is the effect? A better way to remember, right? Yeah? One is the cause and the other way is the other is the effect. Cause and effect is familiar with you, isn't it? Yes or no? Yeah. Tell me, what is the cause? What is the effect? Out of this cross, crucifixion or the death of Jesus and the church, what is the cause and what is the effect? Yeah? Cross is the cause. Church is its effect or the outcome of the work that Jesus did on the cross. What I'm trying to say is this. Well, in this new class into which the Lord was taking these disciples, in this new lessons that he brought before them, we see this relationship. Alright? One is the cause, the other one is the effect. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ is the cause. And the effect of it, the outcome of it, the result of it is the church. Does Now the topic that we will be considering is this church. Alright. Now in this class, we will be looking only at the certain introductory truths and the beginning of the church. Alright? Certain introductory truths and the beginning, or introduction and beginning. You all are writing, isn't it? Yeah. Now, as an introduction, there are about 4 or 5 reasons why we should be sure about this topic, or why we should study this topic of the church. Number one, the divine affection. The divine affection. When I say the divine affection, what I mean is the Lord loves the church. If our Lord loves the church, then we who loves the Lord should love this topic also. Got it? Reasonable, isn't it? The Lord loves the church. Can you tell me one verse which says that Lord loves the church? Any one verse? Can I turn to Ephesians 5:27? I will read it for you as you are writing the notes. You may not be able to turn to it. Now listen to it. Ephesians 5:27. That he might present, verse 25 on, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So that Christ also, what? Loved the church. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That clearly shows that Jesus Christ loves the church. If Jesus loves the church, then we who love the Lord, or we who belong to the Lord, also should have that same affection to this truths in connection with the church. Number two, the divine revelation. The divine revelation. Now when you say the divine revelation, what we mean is God has revealed truths in connection with the church, and we are depositaries of those truths. Alright? The Lord has revealed truths in connection with the church, written it and given into our hands. Alright? Where do we have it? In the Bible, isn't it? We have it in the Bible. It's written and given into our hands. And so we are the depositaries. It's our responsibility to know. Got it? So the divine revelation also should encourage us to study this topic. And number three, divine purpose. The divine purpose. When I say the divine purpose, what I mean is the divine purpose of God for this age or for this time. What is God doing now? When I say now, what I mean is in this age, in this church age. What is God doing? When we come to Acts 15 and verse 14, we have a verse that gives us the answer for it. Acts 15 and 14, we read like this. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. What is God doing now? Tell me. What is God doing now? He is taking out what? A people for his name, unto his name. That speaks about all those people whom he is saving now and adding to the church. That tells about all the people who are being saved around the world. Alright? So the Lord is doing that. He's saving them. And the church, the members of the church, or you and I have a part in it. And if we do not know about this purpose of God for this time, we will not be able to be a part of what He's doing now. Correct? So knowing the divine purpose, knowing the truth in connection with the church is very much important because of this divine purpose for the time. So that we may be a part of what He is doing. Tell me what all are the points I said. Number one, divine affection. Number two, divine revelation. Number three, divine purpose. And number four, divine ownership. Divine ownership. What do we mean by saying divine ownership? What I mean is this: God owns the church. Alright? The Lord Jesus Christ, He owns the church. He is the Lord of the churches. Alright? He is the Lord of the churches. But our own assemblies we belong to, the churches we belong to, we often say, our church is that, my church is that, and all that, isn't it? Even when we call it my or our, we should remember that there is another owner. Who is it? Yeah, we are not the owners. He is the owner. He itself belongs to Him. We see one verse that tells it very clearly. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 3 verses 14 and 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verses 14 and 15. We read like this. We will read only verse 15, where we have that phrase which we want to refer to. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of, tell me, the living God. Church of the living God. The house of God, which is the church of the living God. Or the church belongs to a living God. Church belongs to Him. It is His house. If each local church is His house, then one thing we have to remember, we cannot behave just as we want. Alright? Now this one week you will be here. How your behavior will be? How is it going to be? Just as you behave in your house? Try it and you will see what will happen. Yeah, we cannot behave as we behave here, as we behave in our own houses, isn't it? Because that's our house, this is not our house, is it? Or think about you visiting some, another house, and when you go there, well, you will be very, decent there, isn't it? Not like as we are in our own home, isn't it? There's a difference there. Now, but the church, it says that it is the house of God. That means that we cannot behave, we cannot conduct just as we want. We should know what is the rule that He has set there and conduct ourselves accordingly. We cannot make our own rules. Did you get that? And if we want to know what is the rule that He has set, it is very much important for us to go to the Word of God and see what He has written there. That tells us why we learn this topic here. When you come to the Old Testament, we see a house or a tent called tabernacle. Remember that? What is tabernacle? What is a tabernacle? Tell me. What is a tabernacle? No one to answer. Who made it? Who made it? God? Okay. Who gave the instructions for the making of it? Yeah, that's right. To who He gave the instructions?
Moses.
Alright?
Moses. And in which book of the Old Testament we have all those instructions? Matthew. Leviticus. Exodus. Alright?
When you read Exodus, we have it. Alright? When you read those chapters, we see a lot of instructions God giving to Moses.
And when you look at the making of it, he did everything according to what was told. He did not make any new design at all. He did not make any improvement upon it at all. Just as it was told.
Right? Now when you come to chapter 40 of Exodus, don't have to turn to that. Later you can read those verses. If you look at the first 15 verses, right? Exodus 40 verses 1 to 15. The expression, thou shalt. You're familiar with that? Thou shalt. Thou shalt means what? Yeah? Thou means you. Shalt. Shall. Isn't it? You shall. Huh? Thou shalt. That's a KJV. I counted it in KJV. You have that 14 times. Alright? In that 15 verses you have it, and you have it 14 times. And when you come to the remaining portion of that chapter, that is chapter 40, when you read from verse 17 on to verse 33, and go on counting the statement, as the Lord commanded Moses. You got it? If you go on counting that statement, as the Lord commanded Moses, you have it 7 times. Alright? You have it 7 times. Then, turn to the chapter before that, that is chapter 39, there also you have the phrase coming, as the Lord commanded Moses. In that chapter also, 7 times. Put together 14 times. Thou shalt how many times? 14. As the Lord commanded Moses? Yeah, 7 plus 7, isn't it? 14. What am I trying to say? Come on, tell me, what am I trying to say? Yeah, he did everything according to what the Lord said. Thou shalt 14 times. As the Lord commanded Moses 14 times. Then we see the glory filling that tent, that tabernacle. God coming and dwelling there. What a blessed thing it is. What it indicates is this. If Moses had did things according to his own will, well, the Lord wouldn't have been pleased. You got it? It's his house. It should be done according to his will, his instructions. Moses knew that and he did everything according to that. As I mentioned, the church is the house of God. If that is true, then everything should be according to his instructions. We cannot add anything to it. We cannot add tradition to it. We cannot add the worldly principles to it. Alright? Moses could have made many modifications. Alright? Nothing of that sort. Just like that, we also ought to obey. For that obedience, we ought to know what is there. Number 5. The present confusion. The divine affection, the divine revelation, the divine purpose, the divine ownership. Number 5. The present confusion. I don't have to explain that. If you look at the Christendom, or if you look at the Christian world, a lot of confusions are there about the church, isn't it? We understand things in one way. There are other people who add many things and understand it in different way. lot of doctrines, lot of practices, isn't it? This fifth point refers to all that. You don't have to go into the explanation of it. But in such a world, when we are in such a world, it is very much important for us to know what the right doctrine about the church. So you got the five reasons why we are studying this topic. Can you tell me the five reasons once again? Together? Yeah. Yep. That's right. Yeah. The present confusion. Now having seen these reasons for studying this, the next thing I want to share with you is about that word church itself. Right? That word church. Can you tell me the meaning of that word church? We tell that often, isn't it? Can you tell me the meaning of it? The word church. Do you want to try it? The house of God. Church is the house of God. But what I am asking now is the meaning of that word church. Alright? That's fine. The house of God. You can give any answers. Don't worry about the answer. What is it? You said something. Group of believers. Group of believers. Alright. Yeah? Body of Christ. What an encouraging sign. Usually girls answers and all these boys keep silent. All this is just like that, you know. This time it's all boys, boys, boys. Now you also think about some answers. Yeah, tell me. Any other answer? Yeah. Come on, it's your turn now. What is the meaning of the word sirs? Called out people. Alright, called out people. Yeah, anything else? What is it? Church means ministering. Yes, of course, in the church ministry goes on, no doubt. Yeah, then? Tell me. What is it? Chosen people for Christ. Very good. Yeah. They are a chosen people of Christ. Yes. The bride of Christ. Alright. And keep on telling like that, isn't it? Huh? Think about that word church. That word church in English came from Greek or from Latin. Alright? The literal meaning of that word church is the Lord's, that which belongs to the Lord. Did you get it? Did you get it? What is it? The word church means, tell me, the Lord's, or that which belongs to, that which belongs to, tell me, the Lord, alright? That which belongs to the Lord. But let me tell you one thing more. In the Christendom, are you familiar with this word Christendom? Are you familiar with this word Christendom? Yeah, that word simply means the Christian world, alright? The Christians. Christians around the world. All those who call themselves as Christians. Understood, man? Yeah. In the Christendom, this term church came to be used only, well, in around 1500s or near 2600. You got it? Yes or no? Now it is what? 2017, isn't it? Like that? This word church started being used for, you know, the people of God, the people that belongs to Christ, only from, tell me, 1,500, 1,600. The first person who used this word church, as far as the records goes, is a person called Theodore Dessa, you know the meaning, right? I mean the spelling, right? Yeah? Dessa, D-E-Z-A. You want the spelling of Theodore also? Yeah? T-H-E-O-D-O-R-E. Alright? Theodore. What is the name? Tell me. Theodore Bessa. He is the first person to use this word. What? Church for the people of God. Or the people of Christ. Alright. And the first Bible in which this word got, you know, to be used is this King James Version. Alright? And before that it was just congregation, alright, the congregation. Now having seen the meaning of this word church, now it is necessary for us to understand what is the word used in the Bible, alright, in the original Bible, in Greek, for the people that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the Greek word for that? Do you know the Greek word for that? What I'm trying to say is, when you read the King James Version, you see that word church appearing, alright? You've seen that? Have you seen that? In that first verse we saw that, right? What did the Lord say? I will build my... Tell me loudly. Louder. Church. I will build my church. Just think about that word church. What is the Greek word used in the place of that? Do you know that word? That word, the Greek word is ecclesia. What is it? What is it? Ecclesia. If you want the spelling of it, you write E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A. If you don't like K, you can use C also there. It's no problem. C is smaller to write, isn't it? What is the word? Tell me. Ecclesia. What is it? I don't want you to forget. Tell me. Yeah. Now when you grow up and start applying for the job and all, even for higher education and all, you can say, language is known, Greek. All right? If somebody asks, what do you know about Greek? Just say ecclesia. Alright? Now, this word, ecclesia, is a compound word. Alright? This word, ecclesia, is a compound word. What is the meaning of the word compound? Compound word. What does it mean? Compound word. Made up of two, not necessarily two, more than two words, isn't it? Two or more words, isn't it? It's a combination of two or more words. That's a compound word, alright? Now, ecclesia is the mix of, the merging of two words. One is ek. E-K. Ek. And the second word is kaleo. Kaleo. K-A-L-E-O. Kaleo. Ek plus kaleo
is equal to, what is it? What is it? Ecclesia. Ek plus kaleo is equal to ecclesia. Now, look at the meaning of that two words. What is the first word? Ek. Ek means out of. Alright? Ek means out of. Kaleo means a calling. A calling. Ek means out of. Kaleo means calling. Now put together into the meaning of ecclesia. What is it? Tell me. Out of calling. When you put together, we should say like this, a calling out. Alright? A calling out. Or a people who are called out. You got it? A called out company of people. That's the meaning of ecclesia. Alright? That's the meaning of ecclesia. What is the meaning of ecclesia? Yeah? A called out group of people, isn't it? A called out company of people. Company of people that belongs to God, isn't it? A group of people who are called out from the world, called out from under sin, called out from under Satan. Alright? Separated unto God, unto His name. Now, what is the meaning of that word church? Tell me. The Lord's. What is the meaning of that word ecclesia? The called out company, isn't it? The called out. It's totally different. Alright? It's totally different. That is why when we often refer to our gatherings, our congregations in our own places, we call it as what? We call it as what? Is it church? Tell me another word. Yeah? Borromili. Assembly. Okay, I wanted that word only. Alright. Assembly, isn't it? Assembly. An assembly is also what? A people who are called out for a purpose, isn't it? That's an assembly. A group of people that are called out for their purpose. That is why we use that word. You understand? And that is the right word which Jesus Christ used for His people, His congregations everywhere. And we are people who are trying to, come back to the scripture as it were in the beginning. Got it? That's why we often use that word, assembly. Alright? That's a better word than the word church. That gives this meaning, called out company, ecclesia. Now, having seen that, the next thing that we have to see is the beginning of this search. The beginning of this search. I think if we go to the beginning of the church, we may not be able to finish it. We will go to something else. Smaller one. Smaller topic. Two aspects of the church. Alright? Two aspects of the church. The two aspects of the church. Aspects is A-S-P-E. Then what? C-T-S. I'm not good in spelling. Alright? Aspects. Two aspects of the church. Can you tell me what it means? Two aspects of the church. What is it? What does it mean? Can I try to remember what all we studied? We saw the reason for studying this. How many reasons? Five reasons. And after that we saw the word church, isn't it? It meaning. We saw the word ecclesia. We saw the word ecclesia is the right word which the Lord used. Alright? We saw its meaning. Clear? Yes or no? Yeah. Now we are seeing two aspects of the church or the ecclesia. Two aspects of the ecclesia. What are they? Number one, the universal church. As the word church is also familiar, we will use that now. The universal church. And the second one, the local church. When we use this word church, always remember the right word is what? Right word is what? Ecclesia. Alright? Assembly. Alright. So, universal church and the local church. Now, can you tell me what are these? These are the two aspects of the church, okay? Now, what do we mean by universal church? And what do we mean by the local church? Are you familiar with this term, universal church? At least nod your head. Or say like this. Tell me. Are you familiar with this word, universal church? Yes? If yes, what does it mean? Alright. Universal church includes all the believers from the day of Pentecost until the day of rapture. Alright? These are the two points. Pentecost to the rapture. Now, tell me, what is the day of Pentecost? Actually, I wanted to share, you know, that also, but it's a larger topic. We will see it tomorrow morning. Tell me. But still, you should understand what is Pentecost. What is Pentecost? Where do you have it in the Bible? Acts? Chapter? Chapter? One? Yeah? In Acts 2 we have it, isn't it? Alright? Acts 2 we have it. The day of Pentecost. That is when the church began. Alright? We will see it later. Alright? That's where the church began. From that day onwards, till the day of rapture. What is the meaning of the rapture? Rapture. Yeah? What is the meaning of the word rapture? Do you know that Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again? All of you? Yeah. When Jesus Christ is going to come again, what is he going to do? He's going to come and bomb Iraq, Syria, and all, is it? What is he going to come and do? Yeah, he's going to snatch away, he's going to take away the church, alright? He's going to take away his people. That's what's going to happen at first, isn't it? We're not going into the details of it. That is the rapture. Taking away of the church. All those who are born again, living then, shall be taken up. Just imagine like this. If the Lord comes now, all those who are born again, seated here, all of you are born again? Everybody? Come on, only few of us. Are you all born again? Come on, tell me louder.
Yes.
Yeah, if there is anybody who is not yet born again, who has not yet received the Lord Jesus Christ into his life as Lord and Savior, these days when you are studying the Word of God, think about your own, you know, condition. You are outside all these blessings that we are thinking of, isn't it? You are no part of the church because those who are belonging to the church, those who are the members of the church, those who are in fellowship of the church are those who are born again. Alright? Those who are not born again, those who are not saved have nothing to do with the church. Alright? So make sure that you are born again. If you are not born again, you are still in your sins. Jesus Christ died for you. He was buried, rose again, and he lived. And even this evening, the Lord is calling you unto himself. Come unto me. Remember that? So if you haven't yet decided for Christ, Even now, when you're listening to this verse, you have to open your life, you have to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Give your life to Him. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Saving faith is a surrender. Or you have to surrender your life to the one who surrendered His life for you. Clear? Yes or no? Yeah? Yes or no? Yes. So think about it. So all those who accepted Jesus Christ, well, when the Lord comes, they all will be taken up. That's rapture. Alright? So think about all the people, all that belongs to the Lord from Pentecost till rapture. All put together is what? Universal church. Universal church. That's the first aspect. Alright? That is the first aspect. Number two, what is the second one I said? The local church or the local assembly. What is a local assembly? Or what is that local aspect? And just think about your own, you know, churches, assemblies in your place. Alright? Those are small congregations which the Lord has called out from that locality unto His name to witness there in that locality and to worship in that locality. Isn't it? Did you get it? So we can say like this, a local church is a company of people who are called out in a locality for witnessing and for worshipping. Alright? People called out unto His name. Called out unto the name of the Lord Jesus. They are the local assembly. Now the blessed truth is this. About the local assembly and also about the universal church or both this aspect, the person who uttered anything about it for the first time is Christ Himself, the Lord of the church. About the universal church, the first utterance we have in Matthew 16:18. Remember that verse? We read it at the beginning. What is it? What is it? Matthew 16:18. Can you all read it together? Matthew 16:18. Open to that verse. Yeah, what is it? I will read the whole verse. Can read it together. Yeah. Yeah, read it. And I say unto thee. Yeah. Yeah. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So in the middle of it, we see that. I will build my church. When the Lord said, I will build my church, He was not telling about the church of Jerusalem, church of Antioch and all that. He was telling about the universal church. Understood? He was telling about the universal church. So this is the first place where we have a proclamation about, an utterance about the universal church. What about the local church? That also the Lord Himself said. Turn to Matthew 18:20. That is again a very familiar verse. In fact, you can tell it by heart. What is it? Tell me together. Yeah. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Here we see where two or three are gathered together in my name. That actually brings before us the picture of a local assembly. Got it? Two or three. That is the smallest number, isn't it? The smallest number, two or three. You cannot reduce from that, isn't it? The smallest a figure of a local church. Where two or three are gathered unto my name. That is also the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will see the details about these two aspects, God willing, in the next classes. So what we saw this evening was began with the reasons, isn't it? Why study this? The five reasons we saw. Then we saw about the word church, isn't it? And we saw that word ecclesia. And now we were looking at the two aspects of the church. God willing, we will see the details in the coming classes. So think about these things. Those who have written it, whenever you get time, just go through it. Alright? And benefit from what you are studying. And if you have any doubts, you know, while I take the class, you can ask. If you want me to repeat something, alright? Anytime you can ask, alright? And whenever I'm available around, you can ask the questions. So don't carry your questions home at the end of the week, alright? Finish it here itself. And let us benefit the time together. God bless you all.